second hour, Darren Donica Chase here on this Wednesday morning, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Speaking of ESPN, he's the NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com for the Jags. Mike DiRocco is on the line with us. Mike, how you doing?
Good, guys. How are y'all?
Well, we're talking about two 1-0 teams in the AFC South, and their names aren't Houston or Indianapolis, so everybody should be good.
Yeah, not a surprise maybe that the Titans are 1-0, but certainly a surprise down here that the Jags are.
Well, that's exactly where I was going first. What was the level of surprise on a scale of 1 to 10 that the Jags were able to beat Indianapolis? What were they, like an 8-point underdog at home? And took it to Indianapolis on Sunday. What was the surprise of 1 to 10 that they actually won that game?
For me, it's up there like around an 8 or a 9, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because Phillip Rivers has just made a living of destroying this franchise. And, you know, their run defense has been just abysmal. Well, was expected to be abysmal, let's put it that way, because they lost so many guys that they had signed earlier this offseason. And it wasn't great last year. They lost the guys that were on the team last year up front. So, you know, I expected the Colts to come out here and pound the football and walk out of here with like 250 on the ground and win this game rather easily. But, you know, then you add in the fact all the rookies the Jaguars were playing, 16 on the roster and all. So it was a pretty big surprise for me. But you know what? They were efficient on offense. After a rough start on defense, they settled down, and they took advantage of the mistakes that the Colts made. And all of a sudden, you're 1-0 heading up to a place where you haven't won since 2013.
Yeah, and that's going to be an interesting game. But Gardner Minshew, we saw last year, but things have turned over him. You know, Minshew mania. Well, can he sustain this? I mean, I know that they're rallying around him. It's a game, but can they keep this going? I mean, they do seem to have something special when he's under center.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a little bit of moxie around him, which is something that's infectious. You know, for this offense and a lot of, you know, for all the rookies and stuff on this team, the offense is got some really veteran playmakers on it with DJ Chark and you know, Tyler Eifert. And then you add in, you know, Chris Conley, a veteran wide receiver. So there's some experience there. And I do think that this is a really good fit for Minshew with Jay Gruden's offense. It's not, I mean, it's a lot of quicker throws. It's a lot of crossers. It's a lot of, you know, deception. You know, the touchdown pass to DJ Chark was a great play because it sucked up the corner because they thought they were going to a wide receiver screen with LaVisca Chenault, and DJ Chark was wide open. It's that kind of stuff. So, you know, can he go, you know, complete 95% of his passes every week? Probably not. But, I mean, I don't see any reason why this kid can't have a little bit of success here. Now, the problem becomes if you get into a game where you get behind big early, then I think it will be a problem. He can't thrive in that atmosphere. I don't think anybody really can except the great ones. But if they can kind of keep games close and they can get some stuff going on the ground, I think that they can be in a lot more games than maybe we're going to give them credit for.
Getting things going on the ground, is James Robinson going to be the feature back? Is this more like running back by committee? How is this going to play out in your mind throughout the course of the season?
Well, originally it was going to be running back by committee with Robinson kind of getting the first shot there, but Rykel Armstead is back on the COVID list, and he had another illness and a groin injury in camp, so he's pretty much out of the picture at this point. And Devon Zigbo, the other guy that they planned on using in that rotation, is on IR with a hamstring. So it's pretty much James Robinson, you know, it's his job, and he did a really good job in that first half. Now, certainly the Colts followed them up in the second half. I think he had net 0 yards in the second half on 6 or 7 carries. So that wasn't good. But, you know, you saw the things that you wanted to see out of him from the Jags' perspective. One of the criticisms about Leonard Fournette is he was sometimes tentative and he was sometimes dancing around back there. He wasn't sure where he was going to go. And Robinson just grabbed it and hit it and showed a little bit more speed than maybe I and a lot of people thought, and he, you know, a little bit of wiggle, but I mean, he's more of a one cut and go guy. And you know, we saw the athleticism and the speed and the toughness, especially on that hurdle on the pass out of the backfield. So it's going to be his job. I mean, I hope people aren't expecting, you know, 1,200-1,300 yards out of this kid, but I mean, he's going to be their number one back. And if they can have some success on the ground, you know, I can see him being an 800-900 yard rusher for sure.
What has Jay Gruden meant to this offense early on?
you know, it's a lot more creativity than maybe they had last year. I think last year they relied too much on Leonard Fournette, but that might be that's partly because Fournette is a high volume guy. He's got to get a lot of carries to really kind of get going in games. You know, and there really wasn't a whole lot of success in the middle of the field in the passing game. Now, this will help. Gruden's offense will help. It, you know, relies on some crossers there, shorter passes. And one of the things that Minshew is very, very accurate with the football. So that's going to help. And I do think that you know, they've got enough playmakers at wide receiver that they can kind of get a little tricky as well. I think we saw Laviska Shenault take a wildcat snap the other day, and we'll see more of that kind of stuff going forward. So there's a lot of confidence in this offense. That's the one thing that I've kind of picked up from, you know, talking to these players on Zoom. They really like it, and they're confident that it's going to work. And while it wasn't spectacular last week, it was efficient, and that's better than anything that we've seen the last couple of years here for sure.
Mike DeRocco is with us from ESPN covering the Jaguars. A couple of 1-0 teams going at it coming up on Sunday. And Mike, we talked a lot about culture, right? This going back to last year where Jalen Ramsey pulled the stunt that he pulled to get out of there. It's happened a couple other times. You talked about how young this group is, and now they've parted with Leonard Fournette. Is this as much of as anything just an attempt to sort of rebuild the culture and have this be a place where people want to play? You're building a foundation of something new and not have players around that have been influenced by what has happened before?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, I think the perception is that all they want is choir boys, and that's not fair and not true. They want good players, but they want guys that aren't, you know, excited about the limelight, I guess is the best way to put it, or guys who aren't me guys, or guys who aren't concerned more about when am I getting paid, when is this going to happen, as opposed to just trying to win games. And when you have a young team, I think you can get some of that, but you have to have success. Because if you don't have success, then some of that other stuff can kind of seep in a little bit. But so far, I mean, it's only 1 week. It looks pretty good. And Doug Marrone said the other day that this is the closest he's felt to any team he's had since he was a head coach. And that includes, you know, when he was up there in Buffalo. You know, so that's a good sign. If you've got a good team, a locker room, and a morale that you know, people are happy and they're not complaining all the time and not wondering what they're going to get fined for and why they're getting fined for something, and even when they know it's against NFLPA rules, you know, you can have a good locker room. If that's the case, you know, if you can have success on the field, then that's how you kind of build a program. And, you know, it's 1 week, but we'll see how it goes.
So tell me this, as you look at their matchup with the Titans specifically. You know, the two matchups were so distinctly different last year. The early season ambush in the rain, the early turnover, which sort of set the tone. Minshew had his sort of coming out party, or, you know, took the next step in the coming out, but made some big plays early and just ambushed the Titans, and they never really recovered. Then later in the season when the Jaguars were struggling, Derrick Henry just runs all over them. Let's start with Henry and how they match up with him. What do you think their ability is to slow him down and make it tough on him?
Well, let's put it this way. They had some really good defensive fronts the last couple of years, especially 17 and 18, and they couldn't stop them then. So, you know, they did a decent job on Jonathan Taylor. Marlon Mack went out with a torn Achilles last week, so that hurt the Colts for sure. You know, look, I don't have any expectations for them keeping Derrick Henry under 100 yards. The problem is, you know, the key will be don't let Derrick Henry get 160 and two scores or 175 and three. That's where they have to really be better. And, you know, they've got some young guys up front. Devon Hamilton's a rookie. Really kind of handled himself pretty well last week against Ryan Pope, the center. But he only played like 12, 13 snaps. So he's going to have to play a little bit more. Avery Jones is going to have to play some of his best football. Because honestly, that's the key to this whole thing. I mean, don't let Derrick Henry beat you. They've destroyed you in Nashville almost every year since 2013. The last four games in Nashville, Derrick Henry has made key runs. Or touchdowns, or had big performances in three of them. So just limit the damage. That's all you really need to do with Derrick Henry. Because I just don't think they're going to be able to stop him.
Talking to Mike DiRocco of ESPN covering the Jacksonville Jaguars as they take on the Titans this weekend. So Josh Allen, a big force for the Jags on defense. What's his status? I know you put out earlier he's probably not going to practice today.
Yeah, cramps in the calf was the issue in the game, so they're resting him today. He's expected to practice tomorrow. And that's really the only guy that, you know, obviously we know Jared Wilson's not going to be available, the safety, so they're going to have to go to probably Andrew Wingard, second-year guy, to start there. But really, those are the guys that are, you know, are banged up this week. We knew that Wilson wasn't going to be available anyway because they put him on IR. So, but Allen's got to really play some of his best football this week because he's going to be integral in stopping Derrick Henry for sure. And, you know, the other side is, you know, we're going to see some Adam Gotsis and you know, Doug Costin and kind of pray and hope, I guess, if you're the Jags.
Earlier this week when the Titans took on the Broncos, they faced A.J. Boye, who, of course, was with the Jags. And A.J. Brown had his way with him last year. Now C.J. Henderson is one of the corners for this team. What did you see out of the rookie's debut?
Yeah, I was really, really impressed. You know, he had had a pretty good camp, but there were some concerns about maybe some maturity issues. At least those of us outside the team had it. But, I mean, he really, really did a good job on T.Y. Hilton. I mean, Hilton got some for sure. Paris Campbell got some too. But the two things I was most impressed with was guys didn't really get a lot of separation on him. And probably one of the biggest knocks on this kid coming out of Florida was that he wasn't a tough physical tackler, didn't really want to do it. Well, that's out the window because he came up and dropped Paris Campbell for a 3-yard gain on 3rd and 4. He made a couple other solo tackles, one on Jonathan Taylor right there at the line of scrimmage. So I'm completely befuddled as to why that was a knock on that guy after what I just saw the first week. So, you know, I don't know that he's going to travel with the best receiver. I don't think he's at that level yet with the way the Jags use Jalen Ramsey. But they certainly feel like they've got a guy that can be a very, very good corner. It looks like he's off to a good start.
You mentioned Jay Gruden earlier and what he's done to the offense with Gardner Minshew. But what about the addition of Ben McAdoo as the quarterback's coach? How has that worked?
You know, it's been really, really helpful, obviously, for a guy like a Jake Luton, who, you know, the 6th-round pick, who had a pretty impressive camp. And I just think, you know, Minshew's continued growth is a large part credited to what Minshew has done, sure, but he's gotten two good guys to really kind of mentor him and help him get through, and McAdoo and Jay Gruden. And Gruden and McAdoo work pretty well together. So it's been a really good pairing, and, you know, we've seen, you know, Gardner Minshew be real efficient the first week, and he needs to be a consistent guy, and that's the one thing that he wasn't last year. Had some really good games, really bad games. But, you know, McAdoo has really kind of been a calming force in that meeting room. So, you know, the Jags are excited to see what he's going to do.
He's Mike DiRocco of ESPN, covers the Jags. Hey, Mike, we appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Jags and Titans this weekend. We will talk more about that matchup when we come back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.